We spoke about presence earlier, and I'm sure you might be looking forward to some later today. But I wonder if there's something you have your heart set on that you want to achieve or see in your lifetime. I once read a book about the Graf Zeppelin, a huge, rigid airship built very early last century, and it circumnavigated the world in 1931. It was the first aircraft to do that. That story captivated my imagination, because only a small group of people were able to be on that journey, and they had the privilege of being the first humans to see vast expanses of our planet. They flew low over huge forests in Russia, over vast swamps in Siberia. They saw incredible sea creatures as they crossed the Pacific. They inched their way through uncharted peaks of the mountain ranges in China, and they rode the tail of typhoons. Many of the passengers, and even the crew, didn't want to go to sleep because they were afraid they're going to miss something spectacular if they did. When they completed their journey in New York, it was hard for many of them to accept that the journey was now over, and a lot of them struggled with, what do I do now? I have seen an amazing thing, and what's life going to be like now? And so when I read that account, I thought, what a wonderful adventure, what an amazing experience. If only I could do something like that today. And so hopefully they'll rebuild big airships and we can take long, slow, low journeys around the world. I don't know what your heart's desire might be. It might be a little bit more down to earth than that. But is there something that you've set your heart on that you would just love to do before you die? It might be a special trip, a place you've always wanted to see, or to be able to see family overseas once again. Perhaps it's a secret prayer that only you and Jesus know about, but you'd love to see it answered. Whatever it is, it's something that probably that when it happens, you could say, I could die now and be a happy man or woman. In the reading from Luke 2, we meet an old man waiting for the first Christmas, waiting for years and years. Yesterday, we looked at Anna, who's part of this story. Today, we're looking at Simeon. He'd been given a very special promise from God himself that you won't die until you see the Lord's Messiah. Something that God's people have been yearning for generations. And here Simeon has that message that you will see it with your own eyes. That was Simeon's one big desire. He was waiting for what Luke calls here in this passage, the consolation of Israel. 700 years ago, when Isaiah prophesied, he spoke about comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. And that comfort, that consolation of God's people, is the coming of the Messiah who will save his people from their sins. Simeon was promised that he would not die until he saw that promised one. And for a Jewish person of faith like Simeon, that there's no, forget about going around the world in a Zeppelin. That is the thing you want to see. All those promises for all those generations, you will get to see it. And so after receiving such a special and unique promise, I'm sure Simeon spent his day looking, and is today? Is today going to be the day where I get to see this? And he's looking and waiting with a great expectation for that blessed moment when his God-given mission in life is fulfilled. So here in Luke 2, we read of that day, just one day after all these days of waiting, the Holy Spirit prompts him to go into the temple courts. And there in the soft light of morning, as people begin to come into the temple, just a young, ordinary couple with a newborn child work their way through the people. They come to make the offering of a poor family, just a pair of doves, and they present their firstborn child to the Lord. As Simeon stands, scanning the crowd, waiting, his eyes fasten on that couple, but more particularly on that child. And Simeon knew there and then that his life mission is now complete. That little boy, God has kept his promise. There he is, the Lord's Messiah. And so he goes over the family and he takes the child in his arms. And that's a beautiful thing, just to be able to nurse a baby. But what could possibly be going through Simeon's mind that moment as he takes the baby in his arms and he looks into those eyes and he sees the answer to his nation's hopes, promises, their very reason for existence. There he is. So let's freeze that moment and have a look at it. Because on one level, it's a picture of a man holding a baby. But Simeon, in a way, is every Old Testament believer waiting for this great day. They all long for this moment. They're all waiting generation after generation. After from Eve being told that one of your offspring will destroy Satan, everyone's been waiting and waiting, longing for this moment, and Simeon gets to hold the promised one. And in that one Simeon's cradling, all those promises are met. Everything is focused on this little baby. And so from the fullness of that moment, Simeon bursts into song. And Luke, there's songs everywhere. Everyone is singing, just like we do on Christmas Day. It's a good reason why we sing so many carols. Everyone in the Christmas story is singing because of the great joy that has come. So Simeon's song in verses 29 to 32. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. As a servant of God, he's been waiting his master's word, and now the task that his master has given him has been completed. He can now be dismissed. Lord, dismiss your servant in peace. He's been a watchman on duty in the land of the shadow of death. He's now the witness to the coming of the light of dawn, and now his watch is completed. His life goal is satisfied. He has seen God's salvation, and his work is complete. And so Simeon goes on to sing, you can dismiss your servant in peace. I don't know about you, but if I was promised that I wouldn't die until a certain thing happened, and then that thing happened, my first thought would be, now I'm going to die. But it seems like for Simeon, not a problem. Dismiss me in peace. I've been waiting for this day. It's all done. I'm happy. Salvation has come. Simeon can await death with peace, with peace of heart and mind. You know, death isn't to be feared when you're saved. Then the Lord Jesus himself, his very name Jesus, means he will save his people from his sin, from their sins. And so Simeon goes, I'm good to die because of what this baby is going to do. The baby he's cradling in his arms will later describe himself as the resurrection and the life, the one who will go head to head with death and win. Sometimes leading up to Christmas, you might get the chance of listening to Handel's Messiah, either live or at home. There's lots of great parts in it, but my favourite part in it is where this scripture is put to music. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What an amazing hope God has given us in the gospel, in what the Lord Jesus has done, that we do not need to fear death because it means we will be with God forever. The dead shall be raised. Simeon had that hope, and so can we as we believe in the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the reason we can face death with hope. Paul will later write, thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Simeon can go on to say in verse 30, my eyes have seen your salvation. He knows for sure the salvation has been accomplished. He can go to the grave confidently. He doesn't need to wait until Jesus actually dies and rises again for our salvation, because Jesus himself is our salvation. The fact that he's here means that he will do what his name says. And then in verse 31, Simeon acknowledges that this has been done by God in the sight of all people. Isn't it great how salvation is not hidden in a corner? It's not at the top of a mountain. We don't have to make a life quest to go and find it. It's not tucked away down underground and we have to dig for it. It's not hidden in a corner, so it's going to surprise us. It's out there in the sight of all people. Again, Isaiah said, all humanity together will see it. One of the most frustrating games I played as a child was cold, warm, hot. Is that the one where someone hides something in the room and then you've got to find it and they give you clues? Cold if you're far away from it, and warmer if you're getting closer, hot if you're right near it. Well, I might have been playing with the wrong people, but it always seemed, no matter where you went, that as soon as you got really warm and even hot, suddenly you were cold again. For an object that was meant to be hidden in one place, it seemed to move around a lot in our room. But God doesn't play games like that with our salvation. He doesn't tease us, leading us down one path, only to trick us, oh no, it's somewhere else now. Salvation is there for all to see in Jesus. There's no trick about it. There's no complications about that. There's no something further down the line. There's no hidden terms and conditions that we haven't read. It's there. Jesus will say quite clearly, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There it is, right there. For it's as simple and as clear and as challenging as that. Our eternal destiny depends on our response to Jesus, and it's been done in the sight of all people. We all get the opportunity to respond. Simeon was given a wonderful promise by God that he would see the Lord's Messiah. That morning, as he holds the baby Jesus in his arms, he knows he can die in peace because he has seen the Lord's salvation. The baby would grow to be the conqueror of sin and death. He'd be the only way to heaven. He'd be the one who would take to himself a people from every tribe and language and nation. No wonder Simeon could say, I can die now. Dismiss me in peace. I've seen everything. I trust you. You will do it. Today we've come to celebrate, just as Simeon did all those years ago. We've sung like Simeon has sung. Where are we when we look at Jesus? You know, there might be lots of things we'd like to do before we die. But are you content to say, well, no matter what happens, I've seen the Lord's salvation. I know Jesus as my Saviour. When it comes time for you to be dismissed, can you go in peace? Have your eyes seen the salvation that's in Jesus? We can forget everything else for the moment. That's the greatest thing. That's the greatest gift. Salvation in Jesus is not only the greatest thing in life, it goes on into eternity. For all of us who die trusting Jesus, we'll catch up with Simeon one day, because God has kept everyone who trusts in him in his hands, and we will all see him. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and we will be with him and one another forever. How about I pray about that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that today we are celebrating along with Simeon and Joseph and Mary and all those who were there that day to see that testimony from Simeon and then from Anna, that Jesus truly is the promised one, the one that all humanity had been longing for, is now with us. We thank you for the joy that it is to be able to know that this is not just it's not a story, it's true. Thank you that Simeon was so convinced that he could say, I can die now because he has seen your salvation. Father, in all that happens today, we pray that we might be able to remember this good news of great joy that's for all people. Thank you that salvation is so free and open, that we can see Jesus, we can respond to Jesus, there's no tricks to it. And we thank you for that great gift of peace in a world that is often feeling out of control. And Lord, we thank you too that even as we go into today and we meet the joys and the challenges that this day will bring, thank you that we can do it in that peace that the Lord Jesus gives. May we be able to express our joy, not just now, but throughout today and on for all the days you give us, knowing that in Jesus we have seen your salvation and we are at peace with you, with others, with our own heart. We thank you for these good gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.